Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, of course, we welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Derek Skousen from a World Affairs Brief. Hi, Derek. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. Doing well, thank you.
Well, these are certainly unusual times, you know. If you told the American people, even 2 weeks ago, that we would have refugees right here in America, most of them wouldn't have believed that. That's the sort of thing that happens in Africa. That's the sort of thing that happens in Iraq over there, where we're bringing freedom to the people. Oh, freedom. We went over there because we wanted to bring freedom to the people of Iraq. But the idea that we would have, refugees right here in America, well, tell us your take on what's going on.
Well, it's really true, Dr. Stan. A lot of the things that we've been hearing from down in the southern states really sound like the kind of things that happen in Indonesia or happen in the Middle East or in Africa or other parts of like that, where we see the tragedy, we see the destruction, we see the death, we see the corruption, we see so many different kinds of activities. I remember reading a story, actually I think it was an editorial from the New York Times last week or so ago, that was basically mentioning the concept that a big storm like this comes through, and it doesn't just blow the roofs off of houses. It blows the roofs off of the way we live and the way we interact and the way that governments operate and the way that big organizations really interact. And it really tends to expose a lot of things that we wouldn't normally see. And it's this exposure to the operations of governments and bureaucracies and other things that I think is one of the most important takeaways for us to learn from the disaster there in the southern states. Obviously, the first takeaway is, of course, the importance of our own personal preparedness and our own personal awareness that these kinds of natural disasters can happen and are real. And are real here in the United States, and we should all be prepared to in our own ways as much as we can to react to those kinds of things.
But of course, incredible thing, Derek, was there were so many people who came in from other areas to help. I mean, flotillas of airboats from Florida, and flotillas of motorized boats from other areas wanted to go in and help the rescue. And, of course, FEMA wouldn't let them in. The FEMA wasn't doing anything. They just wouldn't let anybody else come in. People wanted to come in with supplies, and doctors wanted to come in and help. And they wouldn't let them come in and help. And they could have moved the people out. They could have had the people walk out of the stadium or out of the convention center. They wouldn't let them do that. I mean, it was almost as if they were trying to make a crisis there. Did you ever have that feeling? And I'm not saying this is what it was. Maybe it was just total ineptitude, but everything was done to stop the normal things that could have been done to prevent the crisis.
That's exactly right. Some quick examples. A big company like Walmart, it came down and delivered big semi-trucks of water. FEMA turned them back. They said they didn't need them down there. Drinking water. This was, and that was, a week ago. FEMA had 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel on a Coast Guard vessel that was docked right next to New Orleans. And FEMA says, "No, we don't." Says, "No, don't unload any of that fuel. Don't unload any of those supplies." FEMA came in and cut the emergency lines to half the city of New Orleans. And
hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this afternoon is Derek Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and he's simply been talking about some of the incredible things that were going on in New Orleans. I mean, when Walmart tried to deliver, three semis full of water, you know, to the people there, FEMA turned them back, and a lot of the people didn't have any water. People wanted to pick up diesel fuel that was readily available there, and that could have fueled some of the generators and probably got the pumps and other things going. Why they were blocked from doing this by FEMA. FEMA was cutting communication lines, you know, within the, so the people and the emergency crews couldn't communicate back and forth. Pick up the story there, Derek, because none of this makes sense if they were trying to solve the problem. It's sort of like immigration. You don't want to solve it, you want the problem, so you can come up with a solution. Every American has to have an ID card, of course. Or like dealing with the AIDS epidemic. We're not going to deal with the AIDS epidemic. We're going to just start sex education in the schools in kindergarten to corrupt the morals of our children. So they create the problem, and then they get to the solution. Go ahead, Derek.
And so it seems that there's this epidemic in that southern area of a loss of common sense among all of the resources that were put in place to help solve the severe problems, these very kinds of severe problems as they come into as they happen. And this loss of common sense is so epidemic that we're seeing it categorically from the New Orleans Police Department all the way up to the Bush administration in the way that this disaster has been handled and has been dealt with. It seems like that these people were caught unawares, and they were caught unawares, and then they didn't know how to deal with it. And yet, when the government doesn't know how to deal with something, they just seem to be unable to say that we don't know, we don't have a mistake. Instead, they clamp down the control, and it's like, if we don't know what to do, then we're not going to let anybody else know what to do either. And that's something that we have seen across the board from bottom to top in every single agency over the last 2 weeks.
All right, fine. Well, I think that what we're seeing there is a terrible example of mismanagement, and yet there was a disaster plan. This has all been thought through beforehand. They knew how to evacuate the city. They had all these buses, 400 school buses and 350 municipal buses. They just didn't bother to use them to get the people out who couldn't get out on their own. We'll be back here in just a moment with Derek Skousen and ask that question, why? Okay, Derek, pick up the story.
So there's a certain amount of a simple, loss of common sense that seemed to happen among all those emergency agencies and all of the public agencies that were involved in Hurricane Katrina in the southern states and southern cities. Everyone from the police forces to the National Guard to FEMA to the Bush administration all seemed to have done the wrong thing several times over again. Dr. Stanton brings up you bring up an interesting point there. What happens when we know that they did know what they were supposed to do? If we listen to the testimony of Dr. Max Mayfield, who is the director of the National Hurricane Center, who said, we spent time sitting down with these groups in Louisiana and Mississippi, telling them, okay, this is what Hurricane Katrina can do to the city of New Orleans. These are the kinds of things that you need to have in place. These are what the risks are to the levees. These are how this is going to happen. So much of this was not only predictable, but was predicted, and they were briefed on those predictions beforehand.
And I think it's important to understand that we're able to put a man on the moon. We're able to send a probe to Mars. We have very good organization. And yet, of course, none of this was applied in New Orleans. And you have to ask yourself, why not? Because the plans were there. They knew exactly what to do. We have spent, countless millions of dollars on emergency preparation. They knew that it was a time bomb waiting to go off in New Orleans. And suddenly, when it goes off, nothing happens.
And, of course, at this stage, all we are seeing is one level after another of denial. We've seen that the federal agencies are denying that they knew that the damage could be this extensive. despite the briefings from the hurricane agencies. There is denial about a lack of response. There is pointing of fingers back and forth. We saw President Bush pointing the finger at Governor Blanco, saying she should have done such and such and such, but she ignored the whole problem until 2 days later. And then there's Governor Blanco pointing the finger back at the Bush administration, saying, "Hey, wait a minute! I put that state of emergency in effect right on the right amount of time, and I had no resources to deal with it. All the National Guard was in Iraq, et cetera, et cetera." And so the finger blaming is going back and forth. It is continually escalating to a political kind of thing. We will see the Democrats starting to jump on the bandwagon against the Republicans and the Republican administration about this. But amid all of this churn, what is important not to get lost is the predictable reaction of the government to this whole "somebody needs to do something" reaction. And what is that reaction? Every time, it is more control. And we are seeing the wheels and the gears of government now going in right now and starting to lock down the federal control of emergency preparedness. We are seeing a lockdown of we are seeing guns being taken away in the southern states. We are seeing increased pressures on key aspects of civil rights by government agencies over and over again. We are seeing a dramatic influence of money pouring into from the federal deficit into organizations like the FEMA, and then into major rebuilding organizations like Halliburton and EMI, et cetera.
Is that the Halliburton that pays Dick Cheney a deferred salary because he worked so hard for them and he was working for them, so they're giving him a deferred salary after he left? Is he still getting that deferred salary? Do we know? I know he got it for several years after he became vice president.
Well, actually, he has a few different sources of deferred salary that he will always be getting paid for, yes.
All right. I think that we should. Some people might think that was a bribe, but of course, it's just because Halliburton gets all these no-bid contracts. I suppose anybody who says that really doesn't have any faith in our government.
Well, but it's not so much just the direct connections between Cheney and Halliburton that is key. It's important also to remember that Halliburton is one of a few giant private conglomerates, of which there are more than one, that have been part of the government complex for many, many years. One needs to understand that Halliburton, EMI, SAIC, and some of these others need to be considered as extensions of the U.S. government.
How about Carlyle? One of our leaders is leaving government to go to work for Carlyle.
And so Carlyle is the world's largest privately held company. And all of these companies, because of their size and because of their history of tight deals with the with government, goes back a very, very long way, such to the point where the government really operates hand in hand with them, and that connection is inextricably connected. And so when you see government funds moving into the into an area, whether that area is Iraq or whether that area is Louisiana, we can see the predictable effect of these major government contractors who have a history of working with the government. They move in to receive the money that is going in there and to fulfill the agendas of the government in the name of private people. And that's the key problem. It's because in order to really solve the issues that are down there in Louisiana right now, we don't need more government agencies. We don't need more private contractors hired by the government and controlled by the government agencies and bureaucracies. We need individuals to go back down and go into their homes and start repairing their buildings right away.
Well, I think one of the things that really disturbs me is why they're taking the guns away from the law-abiding citizens. You could understand them taking away from the looters, but why take them from law-abiding citizens? Who's going to protect the law-abiding citizens from the looters and the rapists? And why would you use this as an opportunity to violate the Second Amendment and to expand the police control over individuals. This is the thing that makes me wonder, is this was just accidental? It's sort of like over in Iraq where, you know, the first thing we did when we got in there, of course we had a stable society, we'd won the war, we disbanded the army, we disbanded the police force, we disbanded the civil service, we created chaos, and now, of course, we have the excuse to stay in Iraq. I hate to use that as an analogy of what's happening in the South, but it seems like we've done everything we could to block a logical solution.
Well, I don't think Iraq is, you know, Iraq isn't quite analogous to what's going on in Louisiana in terms of this increased group of government control. If anything, I think the better analogy is probably Hurricane Katrina and 9/11.
All right.
And Iraq was in fact a result of 9/11, and these major growths of governments are a result of 9/11. We will see another major growth of federal control over states and their emergency management response out of Hurricane Katrina. We are also seeing these reactions to government to disband and to dismantle and take apart the basic civil rights, and that we are already seeing that happen here in Louisiana.
And
the important thing to remember is that these things currently are being done under quote unquote a state of emergency, and we all know the risks and dangers of state of emergencies. And that has to do with when a state of emergency is declared, then normal operations of government, of due process, of citizens' rights are suspended for a period of time, allegedly temporarily. And it is now the question to watch and see how much of those government controls that come in and are taken and co-opted during this state of emergency are retained by government processes and controls over in the next months and years as we move out and we recover from this disaster.
Sort of like when America went into Bosnia and Bill Clinton promised our troops to be home by November. He just never said which November because they're still there.
That's another actually interesting point, is how long will it take for the United States here domestically to recover? How long will it take New Orleans to become a real city again? How long will it take those cities those neighborhoods to be rebuilt? It's a difficult question to answer, mostly because right now the government is not allowing the private citizens back into the city. No one's really allowed to go back in, and it's indefinite in terms of how long it will take before people go in. And every day that is keeping people from going back in and fixing up and airing out those homes and pumping the water out of those buildings causes those buildings to rot, to fall apart. The damage becomes more and more extensive every day that the government is keeping people out of there, and it will extend the time that New Orleans will be recoverable.
Well, Derek, the thing is that I can see this in the water-filled areas. This could justify, but the areas that are dry, why are they forcing the people out of the areas that are dry?
That's right. It's, in other words, we see this very, very often with the major bureaucratic organizations who are running under some kind of unknown agenda and policy, and whether that agenda and policy is just it doesn't matter where that agenda and policy comes from, but what matters is that that these organizations do not react according to basic common sense of what should happen based on the kinds of judgments that individuals would make. They make blanket judgments, so it doesn't matter whether there's water there or not. People don't come back.
And is there a long-range plan? Well, I believe there is. And if you'd like to get our syllabus we put out, the Millennium Syllabus, put out 5 years ago at the Millennium Summit meeting, when the leaders of the world came together to determine how they were going to create a world police state, it's almost like what you're seeing in New Orleans is a replay of the Brahimi Report. We have it complete in the Millennium Summit syllabus. We've recommended to you. You need to understand there is a long-range plan. And, of course, they're simply experimenting with the American people. Playing games today.
The Anglo- New American Establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American Establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WARP.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking five glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Derek Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Okay, Derek, pick the story up there.
So we've been talking about a lot of the effects on individual liberties that are being compromised by the by Hurricane Katrina. But of course, these effects aren't just going to affect us at that level. They're also affecting us economically as well. And we are seeing that, of course, in the rise of gas prices. We are seeing that in the increase of deficit spending to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars that is occurring and will occur as a result of this hurricane, and the increased role of the federal government in emergency response. We are also seeing the rise in gasoline and the rise in oil. Now, it's interesting to note that that the oil prices and gasoline prices are not directly related. They are only loosely related by the connection that oil is, crude oil is, of course, the major ingredient in the creation of gasoline. But gasoline itself has its own market because of the fact that we as Americans buy the gasoline. And there is a very large demand in America and a dependency on America on gasoline, not so much on oil directly. And what we've been talking about this week in the World Affairs Brief is the evidence that is coming forth about the control of the supply of gasoline by the major oil and energy companies in the United States.
All right, fine. And, of course, aren't there some actually sort of secret emails or communications that have come out now showing they've been planning for a long time to run the price up and in violation of the law, working together between the oil companies, which is a definite violation of law?
That is correct. Now, of course, that is an obvious violation of the law, but the key strategy right now to get around, of course, the violation of the law is to use the law as a means of reducing the supply of gasoline in the United States. How do they do this? What they have done is they have co-opted the environmentalist movement, and the environmentalists, of course, will quickly create a hue and a cry about the factories that create gasoline, essentially the refineries. And as the refineries become older and less efficient, those refineries become less profitable for the oil companies. What they really want to do is to reduce the supply of gasoline so that the price of gasoline can go up, and in the process phase out the competition. Not just the competition, but phase out the older refineries and the less efficient parts of their business, so that prices will rise and the more efficient things will supply a smaller amount of gasoline, which Americans become increasingly hungry for.
But of course, they've pretty well shut down building new refineries here in the United States. And many people would wonder, why would the great oil companies help to finance this environmental movement, which seems to be so much against them? But most of the environmentalists aren't smart enough to realize that he who pays the piper calls the tune. And, of course, the oil companies have been funding, and many of our great corporations and foundations funded by the oil companies are funding the environmental movement.
And that's what is happening here, is that the major oil companies are funding the environmental lobby to create increased regulation across the board. And that increased regulation makes it more... gives them a ready excuse to not maintain the older factories, to shut down older factories, to not build new factories. And if you ask them, why aren't you meeting the supply, the demand of, why aren't you increasing the supply to meet the demand that Americans are asking for more gasoline? And they say, they quickly throw up their hands and say, we can't. The EPA is keeping us from cranking up our factories, from bringing up these older factories. There's too many regulations that keep us from doing this. Unbeknownst to Americans, it was the oil companies who lobbied for those regulations. You see, regulations can be used to link arms among all of the oil companies in a way that is not illegal, because regulation is, of course, a practice of the government.
That's sort of like, what they did everything they could to discourage the building of nuclear power plants. We didn't have nuclear power plants. We didn't want to use oil, so we had to go to natural gas. We created shortages of natural gas. The prices skyrocketed. And everybody scratches their head and says, how did this all happen? Of course, they've created artificial shortages, and the price goes up, and the rich get richer, and, well, it's the same old game over and over again. And, of course, it's all mediated through government. And to the finest politicians that money could buy, both in our state and at our national capital. When are the people going to catch on to the scam? Well, we'll be back here in just a few moments with our special guest, Derek Skousen, from World Affairs Brief.
if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Derek Skousen. Derek, pick up the story from there.
So, as we've been looking at the news across the world and in the United States, some of the things that we've been keeping an eye out for, we've noticed, for example, that President Bush took advantage of the sudden death of Chief Justice William Rehnquist to switch Judge John Roberts from filling Sandra Day O'Connor's spot to the Rehnquist slot. Basically, that's important because Rehnquist is the Chief Justice, and this allows President Bush to take his prime candidate, one that is likely to be confirmed by the Senate, and place him in the Chief Justice spot, which, although from a legal standpoint, it is really only a title. From an administrative standpoint, in terms of choosing who gets to say what when, which cases come before the court, etc., it becomes a key role. As we've said before, we've been watching Judge Roberts fairly carefully and trying to see past his basic conservative image, his genteel face. He's really most noted, actually, in his cases here at World Affairs Brief for his complete allegiance to granting the executive branch nearly unlimited authority. He has gone out of his way not to step in and block the Bush administration for their position about terrorism and enemy combatants, dealing with suspected terrorists without due process of law, and civilian civil rights in general.
In other words, basically undermining the tenets of the Constitution, which he will eventually swear to uphold.
That's right. In other words, he seems to hold more allegiance to the Bush administration's ideology than the Constitution.
And that is anything, it's a totally pragmatic approach. After all, wouldn't all power with the federal government make it really run much more efficiently? Think how we could use that power to get the bad guys and other people as well.
Yes, that is the philosophy that they are touting right now. And unfortunately, too many Americans, both in the Christian right and on the left and on all sides of the political fence, seem to buy into that all too readily, especially when they are being hit with wave after wave of catastrophes, whether it's 9/11 or whether it's London bombings or whether it's Hurricane Katrina.
And of course, there's a controlled opposition, the Cindy Sheehan's and the other campaigning against the war, and of course managed to antagonize a lot of people. So which side do you want to be on? I mean, continuing in Iraq and not really trying to win and planning on keeping their troops there for 5, 10, 20 years? Or do you want to be on the side of Cindy Sheehan, who some people really, of course, she managed to turn people off? So you always have a controlled opposition, so there's no real opposition to what's going on.
That's right. It's having that controlled opposition. And it's also important for us as Americans to recognize the difference between a political opposition and an ideological opposition, where, in fact, the Democrats and the Republicans are at each other's throats politically, but they walk hand in hand when it comes to long-term agendas towards globalization and the undermining of America's position overall.
And I see these pictures of President Clinton and George Bush, former President George Bush, two buddies. I mean, they squabble back and forth, sort of like Amos and Andy and Laurel and Hardy, but of course they're all headed towards the same goal: the New World Order, the New World Religion, and the destruction of the America we love.
That's right, and we're seeing the results of that destruction in so many parts of the world now. I mean, it's really come home to us here after Hurricane Katrina and the effects of that foreign policy and that agenda, as it diverted so many American interests, American funds, Americans' organizational structure away from domestic issues and into the foreign issues, so that when we had to react quickly to the catastrophe in the southern states, all those government issues could do was say, "Hey, stop! Don't do anything. We're in control here, and we're going to maintain our control and force and other things, which is what they know how to do from the foreign policy processes. But in terms of dealing with the domestic issues quickly, neither the budget nor the funds nor it seemed like the preparations weren't even really taken seriously.
Maybe you could explain to me why we still have 50,000 troops stationed in Germany and Europe 60 years after the Second World War, and 50,000 troops stationed in Japan, 60 years after the end of the Second World War. But we have to send, National Guard troops that should be here to, of course, protect our country and deal with national disasters. We've got to send them over to Iraq. Why couldn't we pull the troops out of Germany? Who are they defending against? Why couldn't we pull the troops out of Japan? Who are they defending against? Are they going to keep sending our National Guard troops overseas so that when there's a catastrophe, we have to bring in the 82nd Airborne and other federal troops to take away the rights of the people?
Well, it's important actually to recognize that those troops in Japan and in Germany and to some extent Korea, et cetera, they're not just sitting there idly. In fact, they are very much a part of a global network of moving troops and equipment to address the issues of the day, whether that's in Bosnia or whether that's in Iraq or whether that's in Korea. They are part of a worldwide network that the United States is building, is maintaining, and is growing to address basically a global foreign policy and agenda that is rolling forward.
But who's going to defend America when there's a catastrophe?
And apparently that doesn't seem to be as important, and that's what we see out of the Katrina disaster, if anything, is that the defense of American soil is less of an issue than than the spreading of a global foreign policy network.
And I think that's what I hope people will understand what you just said. Derek, the agenda is globalism. There is no sense of trying to defend America. That's why they're not sealing the borders. They're opening them up intentionally because our leaders have no loyalty to the United States. It is this globalist agenda. And, of course, where is the defense for America? Why, it's over fighting and dying in Iraq, bringing liberty to the people of and democracy to the people of Iraq.
That's right, liberty and democracy to the people in Iraq. This week in the news, that reminds me, there were two Iraqis were freed from the ubiquitous prisons there in Iraq by American attorneys. These attorneys were from the ACLU who actually took up the cases of these Iraqi citizens, defended them against the U.S. government, and got them out of the big prisons there. The U.S. is holding some 15,000 prisoners, most of them without charge, in Iraq, and a couple of them are finally getting free. How? By hiring American lawyers out of the United States and prosecuting the United States directly with American lawyers. And they're meeting with some limited extent success by going that very roundabout way. In the meantime, of course, of those 15,000 prisoners, most of them are unlikely to see the light of day very soon. Families in Iraq obviously are not able to figure out where these people have gone, why they're being held. They're thousands of Iraqis are simply disappearing into a system run by America.
Well, I think it's a tragic, tragic situation. Had we maintained the Iraqi structure of government once we had deposed Saddam Hussein, the chaos would not be going on over there, and we could have brought our boys home 3 or 4 years ago, but that was never the plan. Go ahead, Derek.
That's right. It was not the plan, and to a certain extent, to a certain extent, it's very, very difficult to even look back into history over the news stories and the plans that were released at that time and get any kind of impression, even from such recent leaked information about the Downing Street memos, that there was any plan to make Iraq a peaceful place. And in fact, as we are moving forward over time in terms of the buildup of bases, the pouring over of funds, the movement of troops and resources into Iraq and the continued instability there over the long term that seems to be built up, in fact, by one mistake after another, quote unquote, seems to indicate that if anything, there was no plan, and very possibly there was a plan to make sure that the U.S. is involved there permanently.
I think that anybody who doubts that there was a plan need only go to their website, newamericancentury.org, newamericancentury.org. Of course, the people, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Perle, Elliot Abrams, Liddy, Scooter Liddy, they were all part and parcel of this. Gary Bauer, William Bennett, of the Book of Morals fame. Of course, he lost $8 million gambling. But the Book of Morals fame, William Bennett, they were all part of this little group. Read their website. Study their website. Understand the plan was there. They lay out the plan in something called Rebuilding America's Defenses. So pick up from there. I think that if we can get people to check out and try to prove us wrong, maybe they will come to understand that there is a master plan, and that is to permanently station American troops in the Middle East. But we can't tell the American people, because they're not smart enough to understand that the government people would lie to them to justify a preconceived program.
And we're seeing this lie not just not just in the lack of action and in the lack of direction in terms of pulling the troops out, but we're seeing it in the actions of American policies and activities down there in Iraq. This week, the Interpress Agency, the Interpress Service, IPS, talked about how they've been uncovering information about how the United States manipulated and influenced the creation of the Iraq Constitution. It appears that the United States named an Iraqi-speaking ambassador, Zalmay Khalazid, and Khalilzad, and he was there continuously during the process of the drafting of the U.S. Constitution.
The Iraqi Constitution.
Thank you. The Iraqi Constitution. The United States was involved in the drafting of that process, even going so far as to circulate at least one United States draft. This involvement is extraordinarily inappropriate, given that we are the occupying country, the country who has stated that we are going to return this government, this power to the Iraqi people and allow them to rule themselves. So for a country that has 140,000 troops in line to be standing and drafting the Constitution, setting up the ways that government is going to be built, is against all of the principles of government ethics. And as we learn more about this involvement of the United States in this process, it becomes more and more clear that they have every intention of manipulating the Iraqi situation for the very, very long term.
And we intend to keep our troops there indefinitely and dying there indefinitely. Why won't people go to their website and read what they say, newamericancentury.org, newamericancentury.org? Please try to prove me wrong. Because if I am wrong, why, you have nothing to worry about. But if what Derek and I are saying is true, then no man's life or family or property or freedom are safe.
That's right, and it's very, very difficult for us in the United States to puncture through the layers of protection for the government agencies and their mistakes, their lies, and their obvious movements toward an agenda that goes against the principles by which those governments and agencies were set up to protect. We see this loss of accountability throughout the United States organizations, and that loss of accountability is equally reflected in major organizations like the UN. This week in the news, Paul Volcker, the former chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve, who is now the deputy who had responsibility over the inquiry into the abuses of the UN's oil for food program in Iraq. That inquiry has kind of built up to the point where they have been making their preliminary statements, and they have talked about, or they have released an 800-page report that criticizes the program, that points fingers throughout, and indicates that there was a deep degree of corruption all the way throughout that UN program, and yet it does not require or imply that any heads of those organizations should resign, should be fired, or should leave the program.
Well, I was reading on your website just today that apparently, even shortly before our invasion, there were massive shipments of oil going out from Iraq in violation of the embargo for the full knowledge and permission of the United States government. What was that all about?
That's right, that the United States government was in league with this, or was certainly tied to it. Now, of course, the United States will always be tied to any kind of oil corruption process, simply because the United States is the largest part of the oil food chain, so to speak, and because of the size and breadth and depth of that, there's deep levels of corruption in that. That shouldn't surprise us. The problem is, and what we need to be learning from this process, is that we have these inquiries. These inquiries call to reform the system. And they talk about systematic efforts that will be taken to reform the system. And the bureaucracy goes through organizational changes, goes through a variety of different aspects to implement these reform recommendations. But the people don't move. Don't change.
It's all showbiz. It's to placate the American people and think that they're doing something.
That's
right.
It's
all a matter of perception.
There cannot be reform if the corrupt leaders are not replaced.
And of course, Paul Volcker, a long time with the Chase Manhattan Bank, a long time member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a former director of the Federal Reserve System. attends all the meetings of the central bankers of the world who really run the finances of the world and control the governments. And, of course, this is the man who's investigating corruption and has given Kofi Annan a free pass. Oh, shucks, Kofi, you should have known what was going on, but we're not going to hold you responsible. Derek, let's get your telephone number out one more time.
Yes, our number to get a sample copy of this World Affairs Brief is toll-free, 877-518-5888. That's 877-518-5888.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And I read the World Affairs Brief every week when it comes. You need to get it. You need to go to their website, pull down their information, and then subscribe to World Affairs Brief, because I think it's a great idea. And I really appreciate the information that they send out on a weekly basis. Bye-bye. God bless you. Derek.
Thank you, Doug.
Tapes of genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we were talking about the oil that was being smuggled out of Iraq before we invaded. Now, our government knew all about that. We carry a wonderful book written by a former CIA agent. I believe his name was Robert Byrd. His book, See No Evil. See No Evil. He will tell you that time and again, the Iraqi military tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein, and they were betrayed by the American government. This is a CIA agent. Read his book. You're not going to read about it in most places. See No Evil. He told us that almost every Iraqi he met believed the United States government was keeping Saddam Hussein in power, and many of them believed he was working for the CIA. Now, that's an incredible statement. You need to read the book see no evil. And then, of course, we have, and we put together my newsletters dealing with what happened, what really happened on that terrible morning of September 11th, into three little pamphlets, each one about 50 pages long. And we have part one, foreknowledge part one, foreknowledge 911 part two, foreknowledge 911 part three. You get all three of them for $9.95. You need to read them and reread them and check the facts and find out that the decision to go to war with Iraq was made long before 9-1-1, but you can't let the American people at it know that, especially the parents of the young men and women who are going to die over there, or who have already died over there, as we continue this war and eventually expand the war, because behind everything going on are dark and sinister spiritual forces. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, either by itself or with a video and the audio tape, as part of the Brotherhood of Darkness special. You need to get our material on Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. You need to get Johanna Michaels' wonderful book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. The Beautiful Side of Evil. So we've mentioned the book, See No Evil, by Robert Baer. Bird, who was actually a CIA agent for 25 years. And he will tell you what 9-1-1 was really all about. He will tell you that one of his friends had talked to one of the highest officials in the CIA who said, off the record, when the dust finally settles, people will realize that what happened at 9-1-1 wasn't a failure for intelligence. It was a triumph. How could it be a triumph when 3,000 Americans are dead? Well, if you want to go to war with Iraq, if you realize how important it is that we have troops stationed in the Middle East, 3,000 lives are a small price to pay, aren't they? You need to get the book. You need to read it. You need to get my Foreknowledge 911 three-part set. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'd be glad to send it to you. And then, of course, in view of what's happened in New Orleans, I hope you all have a Berkey unit, a big Berkey or a Berkey light, but if you don't, you can get them through my ministry by calling 1-800-544-8927. And if you buy it through us, well, you'll get a free four-tape set or a free video that if one that we have produced. And then, of course, remember, we're having our yearly seminar. That's our Radio Liberty Seminar right here in Santa Cruz on November the 19th. That's the week before Thanksgiving, November the 19th. And we do hope you'll come and bring your friends and help them get educated about what's going on. We've got a great program lined up. Lunch is going to be served. So give us a call at 1-800-544 if you can come. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there directly or indirectly on the Internet. 5 hours a day and not get very much accomplished, but listen to the programs, record the programs, you can pull them down, the archive programs, and then, of course, pull down the newsletters and certainly read them and study them, and, of course, duplicate them. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle for the survival of Western civilization and the souls of men. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.